One of my favorite times of the year is Thanksgiving. I sometimes enjoy it more than Christmas because Christmas is so commercialized, and I just enjoy the time of families getting together and thanking the Lord together. It was one of my parents' favorite holidays, and so I think that's something that I was taught. And so we'll be looking this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I've entitled this message, Amplify Your Thanksgiving. I'm going to read verses 12 to 28 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please stand in respect to God's word as I read and as you follow 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You may be seated. An amplifier is something that amplifies. That's pretty simple. We typically think of an amplifier with music. To amplify is to make something larger or more powerful, to increase. My voice is being amplified by way of the sound system. So my voice, which would be harder for you to hear away from the pulpit, is in the pulpit amplified. It has been amplified so that you can hear what I am saying a little bit better. So, used as the title of the message, it is the addition to or expansion of a statement. We're looking at verses 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16 says, rejoice. Verse 17 says, pray. Verse 18 says, give thanks. But in every one of those verses, those commands are amplified. In other words, there is that statement, that word has been expanded. So I'll say the word, the command in verse 16, you give me the word that amplifies it. Are you ready? Verse 16, rejoice. Verse 17, pray. And then in verse 18, give thanks in everything. So you see that each one of those commands has been amplified. There's many things that should characterize believers. Love, faith, holiness, and there's others as well, which distinguish us from the world around us. But here we have three specific commands given that everybody can claim to obey, even unbelievers. Even unbelievers at times rejoice. Would you agree with me? Even unbelievers at times pray. I mean, the most wicked people will sometimes say, well, we need to pray. And even unbelievers at times give thanks. Many unbelievers this week may be giving thanks. But even for the believer, all three are not practiced If they are, it's on and off again, on and off again. Unbelievers can rejoice, so can believers. And do that at certain times. But each one of these commands for the Christian is amplified. Look at the amplification again in these verses. And let's turn up the knob, let's crank it up with evermore, with without ceasing, and in everything. Three amplified commands. And so I'm going to be looking at the three verses as my three main points and the command in each verse. And so Roman numeral one is rejoice. Rejoice. Let's look at that command, rejoice. It's in the present tense. That means be ye rejoicing continuously. Today, rejoice. Tomorrow, rejoice. Now, if I were to ask you what is the shortest verse in the New Testament, you would typically respond with John 11:35. See, people know that. In the Greek, this verse is actually the shortest in the New Testament. It is shorter than Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words with 14 letters. John 11:35 has three words with 16 letters. And the command indicates that it is a choice to rejoice. Remember that. It is a choice for you to rejoice. You must choose to do it. That's why there's a command. If this was not a choice, you wouldn't be commanded to do it, because you can choose either to rejoice or not to rejoice. For example, you can make yourself smile when you greet someone, even if you don't feel like it. Sometimes people just don't even do it. They'll greet somebody and it's like, wow. That happens every Sunday morning with folks. They just kind of walk by high. No smile. You can force a smile and put a smile on your face. You say, well, that's hypocritical. Oh, really? Is that why when somebody comes to visit in your home, and perhaps it's the pastor at your door, all of a sudden you've been arguing with somebody, all of a sudden, oh, hi, how you doing? Everything's fine. Hypocrite. No, it's a choice. It's a choice that you make. So too, rejoicing is volitional. It's an act of your will. Rejoicing is not to be due to our circumstances. Rejoicing is to be due in spite of our circumstances. For example, here we are in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 6. Paul says this about these at this church in Thessalonica. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. There you have the two things that seem to be antithetical. You've got much affliction, but you have it with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have, here it is, you've suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So these people were suffering. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Here's a church, a people who are suffering. Here's a people who are under affliction. And yet Paul ends the book and he says, now rejoice. Be ye rejoicing. So rejoicing, we say, is easy if the circumstances are conducive to rejoicing. It'll be easy to rejoice this Thursday when you've had your belly full of turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole. I'm telling you, our menu that I like. And, you know, it's easy to rejoice after that and pat your belly and say, man, that was good, and you got that smile on your face. When the circumstances are conducive to it, it's easy to rejoice. But this is in the present tense. Some simply say, well, it could have been worse. They say, I need to rejoice because this could have been worse. I need to rejoice because I look at that guy over there, he's got it much worse, and therefore I can rejoice. That's really a convoluted way of looking at this command to rejoice. Is that why Paul and Silas sang praises in the Philippian jail? Is it because they could have gone, well, this could be a lot worse. Hey, let's sing. No. When the apostles departed from the council after having been beaten in Acts chapter 5, were they encouraging with each other with, well, it could have been worse? No. Their rejoicing was this: they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That was the cause of their rejoicing. So there's the command. Simple. Rejoice. But now let's look at the amplification of the command. And the amplifier or the modifier of the word rejoice is, out loud please,
evermore.
Evermore. Evermore. That is the word that makes rejoice difficult. Because you can say, well, there's times that I really do rejoice, and when I rejoice, I really do rejoice. But the command is evermore. And in the original language, the modifier actually occurs first. That literally reads, evermore be ye rejoicing. Always be rejoicing. Let me ask you something. Are you a rejoicing Christian? You can answer with, yeah. I would say for the most part I am. You've just disobeyed Scripture. How about an ever more rejoicing Christian? Always rejoicing at all times. I'll be the first to admit this is very difficult to do. So when you hear me from this pulpit saying, hey, this is what the Bible says, you're going, well, do you do that? No, I'll admit, this is hard. That's why it needs to be commanded. But circumstances should not determine whether we obey. I read to you folks this illustration years ago. I'm going to read it again. I love this illustration. I doubt that it's true. It's one of those that somebody comes up with, they come up with a little story, and it's got such a great ending, you go, that can't be true. That may be this case. I read it somewhere. I don't remember where I read it, but I've always liked this illustration because it illustrates well what I'm talking about. Now, in the illustration, it's talking about somebody who has a very, very positive attitude, and that's not what this is talking about. But I'm just saying that if you could insert the word rejoicing every time this talks about somebody having a good attitude, the illustration fits. Michael was the kind of guy you love to hate. He was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would answer, if I was any better, I'd be twins. You've heard people say that. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Michael was there telling the employee how to look at the positive side of the situation. Seeing this really made me curious, so one day I went up to Michael and asked him, I don't get it. You can't be positive all the time. How do you do it? Michael replied, each morning I wake up and say to myself, Mike, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life. Yeah, right, it's not that easy, I protested. Oh, yes, it is, Michael said. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line, it's your choice how you live life. I reflected on what Michael said. Soon thereafter, I left the tower industry to start my own business. We lost touch, but I have often thought about him when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that Michael was involved in a serious accident, falling some 60 feet from a communications tower. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Michael was released from the hospital with rods placed in his back. I saw Michael about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, if I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars? I declined to see his wounds, but did ask him what had gone through his mind as the accident took place. The first thing that went through my mind was the well-being of my soon-to-be-born daughter, Michael replied. Then as I lay on the ground, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live. Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness? I asked. Michael continued, the paramedics were great. They kept telling me that I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I really got scared. In their eyes, I read, he's a dead man. I knew I needed to take action. What did you do? I asked. Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me, said Michael. She asked if I was allergic to anything. Yes, I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for a reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, gravity! Over their laughter, I told them, I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead. Michael lived thanks to the skills of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live life fully. Now you just substitute in there, I choose to rejoice. You have a choice to rejoice. You could probably quote to me Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Folks, the unbeliever can't do that. Did you get that? The unbeliever cannot do that. The unbeliever cannot rejoice evermore. The unbeliever cannot rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's not natural. Did you hear me? Choosing to rejoice is not natural. You must be Holy Spirit indwelt. In fact, you get to the last part of verse 18, and it says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You must be in union with him if ever more rejoicing is going to be true about you and about me. You say, well, how did the Apostle Paul do this? Did he always rejoice? Well, let me take you to a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where he kind of gives a testimony about this very thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. Without getting into the context, I'm just going to read that verse. 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Amen. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. This isn't just something that Paul says is something for you. He's able to give testimony and say, this is what is true of me. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And that can be true of you and of me at the same time. You have a choice to obey this command and its amplification. Here's a hard quote to take. I read this in a commentary. Listen closely. The Christian who remains in sadness and depression really breaks a commandment. In some direction or other, he mistrusts God, his power, his providence, his forgiveness. You can only do this in Christ. First command out loud, rejoice. Amplification, evermore. Here's the second command found in verse 17, pray. Pray. Let's look at the command. Somebody said, I think this was Matthew Henry, the way to rejoice evermore is to pray without ceasing. We should rejoice more if we prayed more. Huh, you can see how these are twins. Rejoicing and prayer go hand in hand. Rejoicing and prayer are twins. It's no accident that George Washington, our first president, in the first Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789 said, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. Pray is the command. The amplification of the command is without ceasing. Again, the modifier comes first. It literally reads this way. without ceasing be ye praying. Without ceasing be ye praying. Anyone can claim to pray. When things are bad, all of the congressmen stand on the Capitol steps and they say, oh, we need to pray, when 9/11 took place. Unbelievers can pray. But when things are good, everybody this week is going to be thankful. Not giving thanks, and not giving thanks to our benefactor with a capital B. They'll just be thankful. They'll be thankful for the food on their table. They'll be thankful for family. They'll be thankful maybe for the country. But folks, thanksgiving means that there's an object of our thanks. Our thanks needs to be to God. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing be ye praying. Some are like the little boy who was asked, do you pray every night? He said, no, sometimes I don't need anything. Yeah, and that's the way we are. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, what does that mean without ceasing? Pastor, are you praying right now? How can you be praying and preaching at the same time? Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever had a bad cough and said, you know, I can't stop coughing? Ed's got a cold. He could say, I had a cold. He said, I can't stop coughing. Does anybody hear Ed coughing? Now everybody's going to be listening to you, brother. When you say, I can't stop coughing, it doesn't mean that you're coughing every single second. But the expression is, well, I can't stop coughing. And the adverb for continually in verse 17, pray without ceasing, was used in the Greek of a hacking cough. Go back to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, look at verse 3. Where the word without ceasing, that's the word continually, pray continually, without ceasing. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3, and notice what Paul says he does without ceasing. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Think about it. It doesn't mean that this is always at the forefront of his thinking, but anything related to it brings it to his mind. It's like our phrase, I will never forget that. But does that mean you're thinking about, are you thinking about all the things in the past that you at one time said, I will never forget that? No. But when something related comes to mind, you remember that. We will never forget December 7th, 1941. We will never forget September 11th, 2001. Does that mean you're always thinking about it? No, but anything related brings it to mind. That's the idea of pray without ceasing. Here's another illustration. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also, thank we God. How? Without ceasing. Does that mean that Paul is constantly saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you over and over again? No, it is not referring to uninterrupted action. Unceasing prayer, as this illustrates it in thanksgiving, is the first thing you do when you're faced with a decision, when you're faced with a trial, when you have a blessing. It's an automatic response. The first thing you do is say, oh, thank you, Lord. That is praying without ceasing. Yeah, when you're blessed, the first thing you do is thank God. It is keeping the receiver off the hook. Now, all the young people are going, what does that mean? The receiver, my phone, off the hook. What's a hook when it comes to a phone? All you old timers know what I'm talking about. You'd go to the kitchen to answer the phone. You didn't carry it with you everywhere you went. But if you left that phone off the hook, remember that little annoying beep, 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 beep that would come on? You left the phone off the hook. Praying without ceasing with God is like having the phone off the hook with him. It's like you're always talking to him. But you say, Pastor, again, you're not talking to him right now, are you? There are many times when I'm preaching that I am praying. How can you do that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed in a circumstance where They're watching you. They're waiting for an answer. I was witnessing to a guy this week. And even while I'm witnessing to him, I'm praying. Even while I'm speaking to him, I'm praying. Asking God for guidance to say what needs to be said, for the Holy Spirit to convict this person of his sin, that he might see his need of the Savior and accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know the rebuke when somebody says, "Have you prayed about it?" And you go, "Oh, no, I haven't." That's all of us. Should be the most natural thing that we do. Paul did not cease his missionary activities to pray. But prayer was a part of every activity, everything he did. Let me illustrate it this way. You know how much time you would save if in the morning you would pray for all of the meals that day? Or just pray for your meals this week. How many meals does a typical person have in a week if you have three a day? Think of all the time you could save if you just, this morning on Sunday, if part of our church service we'd say, "Okay, folks, let's thank God for the food we're all going to eat this week." Instead, what do? Before every meal, let's pray and thank God for this food. That's the idea. Every time I eat food, I pray and thank God. That is an illustration of praying without ceasing. So praying is not just something that we do when we eat, not something we do just when we come to prayer meeting, not something we do just when we come to church or when we just have our devotions, but it's what we do when we play, when we work. Charles Spurgeon once said, "As you are tempted without ceasing, so pray without ceasing." If you pray without ceasing, you pray not only when things are bad and you need God, but when things are good and you can thank God. And that brings us to the third thing. In everything, give thanks. Let's look at that command to give thanks. Again, it's in the present tense, to be giving thanks continuously today, tomorrow. And again, I want to remind you, being thankful is not the same thing as giving thanks. Here, thanks is given. It's not just an attitude of being thankful, although being thankful is a part of giving thanks. The thief may be thankful and even rejoicing that he didn't get caught, but he won't give thanks. This word giving thanks, or these two words, give thanks, is a compound word in the Greek. The prefix to the word is prayer. The suffix is to rejoice. Now, isn't that interesting? Paul has just said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now he combines those with thanksgiving to where he has a word that is pray rejoicing. That is really the substance of thanksgiving. The object of prayer is God. This is a prayer of rejoicing. It's like the psalmist said in 69:30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." If you don't magnify God, what else do you magnify? Well, we typically magnify our problems. We typically magnify our pains. We typically magnify all of the negative things, our wants. But somebody once said that before theology comes doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow is the doxology. Proper theology stems from proper doxology. There's the command, give thanks. Wow, let's look at the amplification. Again, it's the amplification that is difficult because everybody at one time or another gives thanks. Again, you have that amplifier in everything. Now, the previous two commands, the amplification of those referred to time, evermore, without ceasing. This command is literally in connection with everything. Why? Because the believer lives by faith and not by sight. We don't live by how things appear. We don't live by our circumstances and how they appear. What unbelievers supposedly do every fourth Thursday of November regarding our nation is what believers do regarding everything. Give thanks. The basis of it, Romans 8:28, you could probably quote this with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And thus we can give thanks. Adverse circumstances are not included, or not excluded. It is possible at separate times to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. But rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, are like triplets. Earlier, I referred to twins because we were talking about rejoicing in prayer, twins. But now you've got the third. What you have in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18 are triplets. Have you ever met triplets? I remember meeting three guys, 18 years old, triplets, and you could not distinguish them. It was almost impossible. Now, if distinguishing twins is difficult, try distinguishing triplets. I had a hard time when Benjamin married Jamie or was even dating her, trying to say, okay, is this Sandra or is this Jamie? Now it's like, which one do I hug first? You know, but now I know a little bit better. I can tell. The more I've gotten to know them, the more I can say, well, that's Sandra. Oh, that's Jamie. But you were all here when they were sitting right down here, and I got confused with them. That's what rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and everything giving thanks is like. It's triplets. They're hard to distinguish. Well, you're rejoicing. Yeah, you're giving thanks when you're rejoicing, and you're praying when you're giving thanks. They're all together. And so you have these triplets. You show me someone who is always giving thanks, in other words, and I'll show you someone who prays without ceasing and is always rejoicing. Thus, thanksgiving amplified is not just the fourth Thursday of November. It is when things are going well and when they're going bad. We need to amplify our thanksgiving. So here's three commands everybody can obey. Everybody, including the unsaved, can rejoice, can pray. That doesn't mean God hears their prayers. Can give thanks. But each is amplified for the Christian. So as Christians, we need to turn the knob. We need to crank it up. Hebert, in his commentary, said, if the dove of Christian joy is continually to mount upward, it must fly on the wings of prayer and thanksgiving. All three amplified commands, according to verse 18 now, are the will of God. People say, you know what? I'd like to know what God's will for my life is. It's right here stated very plainly. For this is the will of God. What? That you're rejoicing evermore, that you're praying without ceasing, and that you are in everything giving thanks. Not Paul's will concerning you. This is God's will concerning you. We mistakenly take God's will for our life as something that is always future, but being in God's will today and every day hereafter will ensure that you will be in God's will in the future. And God's will for you today, right now, is, according to these verses, help me out, rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in everything. The argument is not that you must do it, for God so wills, but knowing that it is God's will, you can do it. In Christ Jesus, it says there in verse 18, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This requires union with Jesus Christ. He is the pattern. He is the source. Outside of him, this cannot be done. You cannot do Verse 16, 17, and 18, in the flesh. If it is in the flesh, it is false. It's just an outward stoicism. So as we give special thanks to God this week for the blessings he's bestowed upon our nation, don't forget that we are to always be rejoicing, continually be praying, and to be giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's read those three verses out loud together. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is not impossible, or it wouldn't be commanded. It's commanded. It is impossible if you're going to try to do this in the flesh. But if you're walking in the Spirit, that's doing it in Christ Jesus.